1 points.
What's happening?
Good morning. Yeah.
What's happening, people? What's going on? Let me just check.
It's a good day.
It's a good day.
Good coffee.
Have you? It's a good day for a good day, Nick.
Yes.
Right, ladies and gents. Let me just turn my volume up because Nick's not the loudest of people. There we go. Right then, let's get stuck in. Who's first? Who's first?
What do you do when what do you do when clients are not losing weight but fully tracking, weighing foods, so they say? Gym 4 times a week, steps not so great, feel like I'm getting to my wit's ends with one of them, but I want them to succeed.
If they're not losing weight, but they're saying they're doing everything that they should be doing, I would just look into the detail further. So help them to look into the detail further. It could be a number of things. Like, it depends on, has the client been in a deficit for a while? And then do they need a bit of a phase at maintenance to see what that feels like and looks like, so they're having a bit of break. They're probably already, well, clearly they're already at maintenance if they're not losing weight. So there's a disconnect somewhere. In either they're not weighing foods, they're not moving enough, they're not tracking with precision. We all know that people will knowingly or unknowingly underreport their calorie intake. That's just a fact. Like, dietitians on a study did it. So the average Joe who can't get their head around nutrition, calories and macros and all of that are definitely going to do it. So I would both, because clearly you want her to lose weight, she wants to lose weight, I would look into the finer detail. And what you'll probably find is that there'll be something that's taken her into either maintenance or a surplus every single week, that's causing her not to stay in a deficit and then therefore not lose weight. But there is so many different variables. Like I mentioned before, like, I've known personal trainers keep someone in a deficit for like fucking 3, 4, 5 months and not give them an opportunity to just take a step back onto maintenance, have a few weeks there, and then, depending on obviously if the male or female, and then go again. So it might mean that she needs a bit of that. She clearly kind of is going through that a little bit now, but what I would probably do is go back to understanding the detail and then recalculating calories, then looking at activity, if there's some movement in there that you can, additional movement that you can get, and then just go again. I think this is what the monthly reviews become really important for. So you can sit down and go, right, okay, weight's not budging. I know you've said you're doing everything that you are absolutely like doing. You say you're all over everything, but what does that look like? Just talk me through it in finer detail. Okay, if that's not working, here are your options. You can either move more. We can either put you into lower calories. We can get you into another activity in regards to your gym sessions per week, and go from there. And there are your main options. But you'll probably find that they've just taken their eye off the ball and not tracking with precision. And maybe you just need to open up that deficit a little bit more if they don't need a diet break. That would be my advice. The likelihood of them needing a diet break, seeing as though they've been at maintenance for a while, is pretty slim. But I would explore all of them avenues. Anything you'd add, Nick?
No, I'd agree with everything you said. The only thing I would probably just mention is if her activity is really, really low in the day, that's quite a simple, not a simple fix, but that's quite an obvious thing. Like, even doing 4 workouts a week, if she's at maintenance or even slightly over on a surplus, even 4 workouts a week isn't probably going to help continue to lose weight. So yeah, that's the one thing I just noticed then, was like 4 times a week. And I did that, I was kind of in the assumption, you know, the gym workouts were basically the main thing that we're going to get people to do to lose weight. But so yeah, that's the only thing I'd mention, is maybe the activity is one key part of that process. If you find out that a nutrition is there or thereabouts, it's never going to be bang on, let's be honest. It's never ever going to be bang on. No one's is, but yeah,
like their neat is more or less 50% of their calories burnt. So like, it's a huge component that if we can increase that variable, then you're probably going to see quite a bit of difference. And I'm sure you know this, but I would present the options to the client and go, right, well, what we can do is we can put you in a bigger deficit, so it's less food. We can get you to increase your activity more, or a little bit of both. Or do you want to get more of calories burnt from your sessions, which isn't going to be huge? So provide the options, but I would still look into the detail, because there might be something in there that this client is completely adamant they're doing everything right, and it's just one or two things, whether it's, I don't know, oils on their food, sauces on their food, that they're just not getting their head around, or they're not, or when it's coming to the reporting on MyFitnessPal or something like that, that's, they're not putting in the right numbers. So I guarantee there's some detail issues, but if you can get them moving more, then that's a, like Nick said, it's a big component and big variable to move the needle slightly. Next question. How can I best market on the gym floor that isn't typically very busy? It's hard to predict busy times for me to just come in and chat to people. So wondering if there is something else that I can do. Smaller private gym, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, marketing is marketing, whether it's lead gen on the gym floor, whether it's content creation or doing videos or grabbing maybe some lists off the managers. This was a big one when I was working out of a few different gyms, is grabbing like an ex-member list or a new joiner list and making some phone calls. It's cold calling, but making some phone calls, doing some emails. If the gym is really, really dead and you've spoken to everyone, recording a video that you can put out on social late. So I think just having contingency plans so that you're productive, because you can start to just second guess yourself with, you know, obviously the times that you've dedicated to, that you want to fill. But I think double down on the times that you want to do. Maybe even cross-reference that if you're new to the gym. I don't know if you're new to the gym. No. Okay. Double down on the times you want to fill. If literally you've spoken to everyone on the gym floor, go to the next thing on the list in regards to marketing and lead gen, whether that's following up leads, whether it's doing emails, whether it's filming content in the gym, whether it's doing contacts and phone calls to new joiners, ex-members, emails the same. I would just have a list of go-to. If you can't do that, or if you've done everything you can with that, go to the next one. That's my opinion. Anything else?
No.
Excellent. Whoa. Okay. Right. First of two questions. I don't have an iPad or anything, but I would like to actually fill out the form with people in the gym. However, I have this weird thing where I don't want to go on my phone if I'm on the gym floor. That's understandable. Any suggestions on getting around this would be great.
Maybe get a QR code for whatever it is that you're getting people to fill out, and have it on like either a business card or a leaflet, or maybe, I don't know if you could put it on your profile board or something like that, where people can scan it on their phones and they can fill it in with you. That would be my first suggestion. Or go back to the old school way and get paper and pen, get people to fill it out that way. Bit of annoying way to go about it, but I would go with the QR code person. Yeah. Next one.
How would you go about setting up the workshops, such as technique correction, etc.? Would you have a station set up or go and ask people if they want a quick 20 minutes to learn a new exercise, check on technique, etc.?
I love this question, me, because this was my go-to with lead generation. I would have an area, right? I was actually in one of your, I was in a Pure Gym, and I know this person works in a Pure Gym, yesterday, and I was so pissed off by, you know, that PT point that they have, Nick, that can be like a focus point, and it was just shoved in, into a cupboard, like a fucking mess, and I was like, no wonder there's no lead generation that happens in this gym. I would take that PT point or create a point of reference where you can take people and have a conversation or into an area. So maybe section off a corner of the gym where you have a PT point with maybe a stack of programs or a stack of information on there where you can take people, right? And whether that's that you're going to go over there to do help people with a hinge, help people in a position of a bent over row, help people with a squat, you've just got a point of reference. But I wouldn't stay there. I would absolutely get out into areas of the gym to complete the technique correction. And then I've got this area to kind of bring people to if I need to. I think both of that, I think that works personally from me doing it in the past and from seeing other personal trainers that worked for me in the past do it really well. They've got this area, like some of the guys used to call it their clinic, their technique clinic or their a technique workshop and technique clinic, and they used to take people in there and then they would just do certain, let's say, movements, and predominantly it was like hinge movements, or it, they would support them with some movement, like movement prep. They used to use that as, for example, if people were coming in and their normal movement prep was to get on a bike or a treadmill for 5 minutes or whatever, they would do, say, a ramp warm-up with them in that corner. So having a point of reference and having a place where you can take people, I think, is an advantage, but I wouldn't be rooted to that, because then you could, when I first started doing it, I just stayed there and it was just basically waving at people as they were going past, and it just didn't help anyone. So get out into areas. And then the beauty of having them PT points, you can move them about the gym. So if you get sick of being in one area and that's not working, right, you can move it front and center of, say, the resistance area. And you can use that then to either give programs from, take people over, have conversations, use it as a bit of a matted area to go through some of the techniques. So I would have a bit of both personally. Anything you'd add to them too? First, could I request a Zoom session with you guys about, yeah, we've sorted that. Best way to talk with local businesses around the area. Struggling to do this right now. Example, hairdressers, schools and coffee shops looking to connect with more people. Looking to connect more with everyone.
Really dead simple and obvious. Use the communication that you have right now, i.e. Social media, send them messages, email them. Once you've done those two things, literally walk into the places where you want to, you know, especially obviously schools a bit different, but hairdressers, coffee shops, those high footfall area businesses, literally walk in. How many, 3 or 4 gyms that I've opened in the past, that's literally walked in. Can I speak to the manager? Can I speak to the HR department? Can I speak to head of HR? Before sending them email, etc., and just be relentlessly persistent with it. That's the key thing, like persistence. Not a lot of people will be busy, and they'll be too busy to sometimes speak to you or not get back to your email. But persistence is so key in this, because it's not that they probably are not interested. They're just probably just too busy. So that persistence, I know that, for example, that works with me. Like if we get how many emails about companies want to work with us from a Pure Gym perspective, from an academy perspective, and genuinely the ones I answer back are the ones that just don't leave me alone. So It's as simple as that, mate. I know it's an obvious thing, but that really, really is the key. That really is the key. You know what to say to hairdressers, and you know what to say to coffee shops, etc. But that persistence is so important. Don't give up. Keep going away. Keep plugging away. Email, social media, walking into the places. Yeah, get there. Anything else on that, mate?
No. I'll just overcomplicate it. I think that was simple enough.
Sorry, check my messages. Should we continue to market, sell over Christmas, or just put more helpful things out?
You should absolutely continue to market and sell over Christmas. Mm-hmm. I don't see why anyone wouldn't, personally. You've got to understand, like, when you say putting things out, if we're talking about social media, hardly anyone sees your posts, anybody. Like, so the more opportunity you can give someone off the back of one of your information, education, entertainment based posts to go, right, that's the next step, that's where I need to go now to buy, to apply, to inquire, to whatever. Like, we have to do that at every opportunity. Too many personal trainers do not make it obvious about what that natural next step is. And now it doesn't matter what time of year. Now more than ever, you should be present in doing that. You want to be in people's minds as they are more likely to buy at a peak time of year, which is obviously going to be January. But if you don't go away, everyone else will have that mindset. The majority of the fitness industry, I would say 70% of the fitness industry, will have the mindset of, I'm not going to sell, or I don't get any leads, or I won't bring any clients, so I won't bother. I'm going to wind down. I'm going to do this. Whilst everyone else is doing that, I would be doing the complete opposite. Doesn't mean to say that you then can't take time off at Christmas. This is what schedulers are for. And you can schedule your posts for whilst you're chilling at home, doing whatever you're doing on your week off or whatever. But I would always have a natural next step to directly sell off the back of the majority of each post that you deliver. Same as it would be like if you're using your clients. So for example, if your clients acting as whether referral campaigns, or whether your clients are going out there and shouting and screaming about you over Christmas into January, if that's in your marketing plan, emphasize it, stress it, put it out more. Just be as consistent as you can, marketing and selling over whatever time of year. But as, like I say, as the majority of our industry starts to wind down because they assume people won't buy, I would be doing the opposite if I was you. Any advice on making private Facebook groups engaging? Any tips on how to get clients commenting and chatting away in private Facebook groups?
Yeah, first of all, I'd probably start with manage your expectations on that. Facebook groups go up and down. People become engage at certain points and become observers at other points, mostly observers. So first of all, just have that expectation. I think very, very importantly, if this is including your clients as well, or if this is for your, yeah, sorry. If this, so this is for your clients, I would really, really kind of home in on the clients that are confident, loud, they're raving fans of yours, and lean on them as much as you can to kick some momentum off. And I think, you know, there's two different things that you can look at with Facebook group. First of all, you've obviously got the educational side of things, but it can't just be all educational. It needs to have conversations, discussions, banter, and it needs to be We need to lean on the client's opinions, like asking their opinions constantly. And that's where, you know, really identifying those raving fans that will always comment constantly. I think that's a really important thing. And I think at the end of the day, like, you know, if we, for example, didn't have that question at the end of our check-in, we would be in a position where we'd be like, oh, what should we talk about? What should we do? Because there's so many things we could do. So I think you don't have to do it for a check-in, but I think setting yourself up in that way where you can get, constantly give feedback, you constantly start discussions is really important. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, I think any type of accountability, challenges, whether that's weekly, monthly, you know, obviously kick off momentum and keep engagement relatively high. So yeah, I would say those are the big things. Show up more, show up yourself more versus posting more information, if that makes sense. Anything else?
No, that point at the end, showing up yourself, like, as much as possible, I think is a great shout. And asking the group what they want to be held accountable to and share with the rest of the group, because that can help as well. But no, nothing else really to add from that.
How to cut down clients talking without being rude. At the end of session, have I missed one?
No.
At the end of sessions, on consultation calls, etc., I'm listening but finding I'm running over on time, which is all adding up on other things I've planned.
You're asking the wrong person here. You should have gone to Nick this question. I just cut him off. No. Listen, obviously, from a service perspective, we've just got to be clear from the start on the boundaries of the session. So just make it clear at the start. I would just turn around and say, obviously, we've got until, for example, 9 o'clock to get through everything we can. If we don't get through everything, either if it's a session, for example, you continue X, Y, and Z on their own at the end of the session. So be clear on that. Or if it's a consultation, if we don't get through everything, then I'll send you a couple of questions over for you to kind of fill in. So I would probably be clear at the very, very start. Just say that usually, just be honest, like these can go over sometimes, these sessions or consultations or whatever. So just to keep it in the boundary of, obviously we finish at 9 o'clock. If anything, if we haven't got anything done, then this is the things that you're going to carry over yourself to end the session, or on the consultation, like I've just said, like I'll send over the last two questions for you to fill in. So I would be clear at the very, very start. I would also just be constantly mindful of time. I think in a session, it's easier because you can either make sure you either put the session on a whiteboard and maybe put the timings as well. So this is what you expect to get through the session and when. Maybe put, make it visible for your timer to be on as well, whether that's on a Zoom or on a PT session or whatever. So make sure that that's visible. So your timing, rest periods and all of that, which is great for them and their kind of intensity in the session anyway. So I would have them visible for your sessions, the session plan and the timer, and then a breakdown of times within the session. For the consultations, that's always a little bit harder because clearly you want to make a decent first impression. And you don't want to cut people off. So I would make sure that, like I said, have that, put the boundary in at the start and just let them know. And then whatever your 3, 4, or 5 questions are, maybe have a framework before the consultation where you expect them to be. And just try and be, not jump in, but just try and get to where you need to be throughout that 30, 60 minutes that you're trying to keep the consultation within. But I think it would help if you're really clear with them at the start. If anything kind of runs over, these are a couple of questions that I might send over to you via email, or arrange a second call for 10 to 15, 20 minutes to cover the things that we've missed. That is what I would suggest, Nick.
Yeah, I'd agree with everything. From a consultation side of things, from a session side of things. Did you mention session?
Yeah, I said the whiteboard with the session on with timings, and I said about having a timer up.
Yeah, yeah. Apart from that, I think just there's a you do a lot. You did it yesterday. I'm conscious of time, almost point it back on the other person to say I don't want to keep you much longer, but without so many words, you know what I mean? Yeah, and don't do Ant where he just goes.
Yeah, I'm terrible with it. I'm like that on phone calls and everything. People don't even say bye and I'm off. I'm really bad with that. But yeah, that's my best advice. And maybe I need to take it myself.
You didn't do it yesterday with John, though. He did it to us.
Yeah, I suppose. That's a good shout, actually. But yeah, saying that you're conscious of time, maybe have like a reminder as well for yourself. Like mine's always when we're doing podcasts or even chats, like we just took the four new guys in. If there's 15 minutes to go and I've got another call after it or another webinar or whatever, I would just at quarter to, I'm always go, I'm just conscious of time. Can I just get through and ask you this question? Cause it's really important. So yeah, that would be my advice. Next question, a really good one as well. How can you get the best use out of the gym managers in terms of support and accountability? It's a really good question. And he's got a very good gym manager as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's a very busy gym manager. See him.
I think, first of all, first thing I would do, the first thing that comes is establishing times and contingency times in case that person isn't available. So I would say the first thing is getting a couple of different times that you can go to each week, whether that be face-to-face or through a phone call or a Zoom call or whatever. I think, first of all, that's important. I think you need to take the lead on what you're going to set out.
1,000,000%.
Your action plan of, what your focus is for the next week. It doesn't have to be huge. It could be one simple point. I think, to be honest, the smaller, the better. And giving yourself an opportunity to go to basically report back to that person. This is what I've tried to do, this is what happened, this is the success, this is why I didn't do it. And then I think voicing that is really important and will really help. The second thing is asking if you've missed anything, ask if you just lean on their experience. Is there ways that you've seen other people do it, that you've done it? Is there anything I'm missing particularly? Am I on the right track with what I'm focusing on? I think those types of things are really key. But the main things are setting up a couple of different opportunities to catch up on a weekly basis, especially with, if he's a CM, he's probably going to be out of the club 2-3 days a week, which will change week to week. So also set, point it on his toes that, I'm fine with a phone call or whatever. And then you taking hold of that action plan. I think that's probably the biggest things.
I can't stress that point enough. Like if you taking hold of the action point, like it's such a good point. Like, I think most PTs wait for the managers to book them in for their business when really the PTs have to, like Nick just said, you as PTs, if you're working in a commercial or a private gym and you want some accountability and support from management, you have to take control. It's your business. You have to take control over that. Like look inside your business. What is it that you feel there is the 1-2 points that you need support on most that you feel that you'll get accountability from the manager of that gym? Now we can sit here and go, well, the majority of managers of gyms have been struggled personal trainers, and that's why they've gone for a consistent wage, which is fair enough in some cases. But I think what we've got to stand back and think is that we're not after, you're not after them to help you to be a better coach. You're not after, in theory, them to make you a better business. It's that level of accountability where you lead with it, right? I want to concentrate on metrics. I want to concentrate on marketing. Well, actually, they're two of the biggest parts of their roles to run millions of pounds worth of gyms. And it's leaning on that. And actually, they shouldn't be managing you and telling you and dictating you. They should be coaching you. So you're going to them with, right, this is the area I want support on. And then they should be asking you questions to bring out the answers from you. So, but you request that specific time, whether it's weekly, bi-weekly or monthly, you go to them. That's your responsibility, your business. And the more of a sounding board, a more of decent sounding boards that you can get from people who want the best for you and stuff, like go and take them as much as possible. Because there's not enough of it. As a self-employed PT, it can be very, very lonely at times. And if they're going to help you just voice your opinions and plans and maybe barriers and ways to overcome them barriers about marketing, about time management, about business metrics, like you can't get that anywhere else unless you're paying a hell of a lot of money for it. So go and make the most of it. And for the managers that refuse that, are too busy for you, then fuck them and go and find it somewhere else. There's a question in the live, isn't there?
Yeah, I was just trying to find him. It's not coming up.
I've got it here. What would you suggest as the best way to send out an ad hoc program for people who you've been speaking to online? I use TrueCoach for all my programming and have had feedback that Google Sheets and Excel looks too complicated.
That's not what TrueCoach is, though, is it?
What do you mean?
A Google Sheet or Excel?
No, it's so I think, Nicole, and correct me if I'm wrong, what you're getting at is that these are leads that you're warming up, and should you add them onto TrueCoach, knowing that that's a higher volume of people, and then therefore you're probably going to get charged more the more people that you get on as part of your lead generation.
Yeah, because you've got
to. So do I do? Do you know what I mean? So do I send out there or that way? It's a difficult one, this, you know, because, and this is where some software companies are fucking stupid, in my opinion. Because clearly they've got an opportunity. What I feel that should happen, and this is just going off on a tangent, but you should have like on each software, you should have like a nurture pot where you're allowed 10 to 20 to 30 people that are on there for a set period of time where you can send them that group of people like a generalized program. Because on TrueCoach, the functionality is you can build a template and you could add them people into a group. So the functionality is there for to do that, but the more people you add on, then the cost goes up at, you know what I mean, at 20.
Yeah, what are the brackets? What are the?
It's five is $15. I think it's, I might get this wrong here and butcher it, but 20, what I'm, 20 is $49, then it's 65, then it's 99, and it goes up like 30, 50, 80.
Just constantly.
Yeah. So it's like brackets. I think it's like jumps of 20 or something like that, and then it goes up 20 or 30 quid per month. Same with PT Distinction, but I might, then prices might be wrong and the volumes of people might be wrong, but they are all missing a trick with this. Whereas my PT hub in the past, you could put a package together and they didn't charge you anymore. It was just a set price. That was the good thing about my PT hub.
The only additional thing I would say on top of that, then, if that's the problem, is I'd probably look at filming a workout or filming a series of workouts, shoving it on a Canva template, converting it to a PDF and using that. So yeah. Look professional, look good. You've got the videos on there. You can obviously do some coaching points, really, you know, make it look really slick. Ping that out.
Yeah, that's the point Nicole's just put there. I wish I could just export the programs I have on there.
Yeah. I would do that, Nicole. I really would. I would. It doesn't have to be the simpler the better with this stuff. So maybe you literally kind of, in a way, export that workout onto a PDF where you've maybe you have, and you just literally film the workout, maybe a little intro to the workout from you, the warm up, you know, it could be a follow along almost. So you're doing the first kind of 3 to 5 reps of each exercise and then giving that spin off to continue. So yeah, I would probably do that. I think it's going to be, because genuinely, like, that's what they're getting on True Coach, right? It's only, it's, and you can obviously, it's in an app, it comes up on your phone, the PDF, quite nicely as well. So yeah, I'd maybe do maybe a bank of a couple of those and use them, mate. Hope that has helped. Well, that was a lovely 39 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good questions, that. Some good questions. Why is my laptop not charging? Piece of shit. Yeah, good questions. Any final thoughts, Nicholas?
Yeah, I'm going to get another coffee.
Well, that was very predictable. Right, ladies and gents, I hope you all have a good day, a good week, and all of that tackle.
Ooh,
what?
Let us know how the additional checking questions go, if it helps at all. Yeah, let us know.
Tom, see you all soon.
Bye.